That's it, amen.
Amen.
All right, just check and see if you're with us. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. I was watching something on TV the other day, and something like advertising something funny where people were doing something, and the other person went up and just said all kind of crazy things to them. They were all texting or something, just see if they noticed what they had to say. And, you know, they didn't. So sometimes I wonder about this. Exodus 33, verse 12. And the Bible says, And Moses said unto me, Lord, see thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took his hand and the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, and to the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We can come back to your house, Lord, and gather together as your people, worship you. I pray you meet with us now. Speak to our hearts, Lord, I pray we're aware of your presence here tonight. And you know every need we have, Lord. Help us. Give us strength, Lord. Help us to be excited. Help us to be on fire for you, Lord. Help us to be cured of coldness and deadness and indifference. Lord, we know you're willing, Lord. Just put that desire in our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been doing a series on prayer, of course, and tonight the topic is the time for prayer. We see the key verse. One of the key verses is in verse 2. I wrote that down. In verse 2 of 34, it said, And be ready in the morning, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. You know, of course, the time for prayer, there's not a bad time to pray, I wouldn't say, other than maybe if you're late or negligent in that sense, but the time for prayer is varied as the circumstances of God's people. Anytime and at all times we may pray. The Bible tells us that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The Bible tells us that David prayed 7 times a day. The point is this, that we need to have sometime, a regular time, a specified time to pray. We need to be regular about that. You know, any time easily becomes no time. And if you haven't set a specified time, if you're not regular with that time, you'll find out in a hurry that many days, any time becomes no time. You know, so we got several points I want to talk about that'll go along with this. The very first point is this, and we didn't get to write the points, is number one, is what is the best time? Well, as it said, 34:2, it said, be ready in the morning. And what I'd like you to see there, that Moses had an appointment with God. Now, God set the appointment. Moses didn't set the appointment, but God did. He said, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And so, you know, when you think about this, what prayer really is and the essence of prayer, there's several things that I'm going to talk about tonight that are involved in the essence of prayer. And then one of them is, I don't know if they're in the order of importance or not, but anyway, the way I have it written down, one of them is this, is that, you know, prayer is an appointment with God. We're praying to God. Boy, if we could get that picture in our head, you know, if God was standing there, and He is, but if God was standing there in a bodily person, the person of Jesus Christ, and we were talking to Jesus Christ face to face, don't you think how much different our prayer might sound, how much more reverent, how much more intense, or how much more in detail, how much in length of time our prayer might be. You know, it's a set time, and here we see God said it, and when God said it, He said, I want you to come up in the morning. You know, surely our first appointment of the day should be with God. Our first appointment of the day should be with God. You know, we ought to be listening to God before we listen to anybody else. We ought to be speaking to God before we speak to anybody else. I mean, that's, you know, the order of things, putting God first. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday School Hour. You know, one of the things about the morning and why I like to do it in a practical way, I like to pray in the morning. I like to work on my outlines in the morning. Man, I mean, sometimes I have to do it at a different time, and this one didn't get done in the morning. It was in the afternoon. It may sound like it too, but it wasn't real late. Well, it was in the morning time, but it was in the before noon. But I like to get up first thing in the morning, you know, get woke up real good, have prayer time, read my devotion book and that, and then I like to go and work on my outlines first thing in the morning. Man, you know, you're fresh. You haven't got into something else. You haven't got distracted by something else. The morning is free from other duties that we might have to do. Everybody has something to do, but the morning time, before all those things have become, you know, in our mind, in our thoughts, that's probably the best time for most people. For most people, that's the best time for prayer. The morning, early in the morning, is the least likely time to be interrupted. You know how it is in the as the day gets business and people calling about this and buying that and going on vacations, you know, all the things you get, Lucas Richmond calling from Publishers Clearinghouse to tell you you won $3.5 million in a Mercedes-Benz. I mean, that don't happen real early in the morning because he's probably in some foreign country and daylight hadn't got there yet. But he was out there feeding the chickens. Anyway, you know, that's the best time, probably least likely time to be interrupted. And then also here, you know what you can do in the morning? You can commit the whole day to God. See, if you wait till noon to have prayer time with God, you can't commit the whole day to God because half the day's already gone, right? So the one time that we can commit the whole day to God is the first thing in the morning. And, you know, it's each day that we have is a gift from God. And we ought to commit that day to Him. And use it to our best. Use the time to our best. You know, we have responsibilities every day, but we also have opportunities. And we've all talked about and commented about the opportunities that we have for God that we have missed. That we have missed those things, and probably we missed a lot of opportunities because we really didn't go to God in prayer that morning. And, you know, talk to the Lord about it. You know, I said, you know, we talked about Glendy Hamilton back at the, was at the Prayer Advance several years ago. It was a black fellow that David Gibbs spoke about and said that he said he led somebody to the Lord every day for 7 years. You know how he led somebody to the Lord every day for 7 years, or at least talked to somebody. I think he said he led somebody to the Lord every day for 7 years. He talked to more than one person. The reason is because he started out first thing in the morning, and this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, you know, lead me to somebody today to talk to about you. Now, I believe if God leads us to somebody to talk to about Him, I think God will prepare the heart of that person that He's leading us to. And if God prepares the heart and He leads us to Him, you know, there's a good chance that we're going to have a successful talk, a meeting, and that's how you lead somebody to the Lord. So, you know, but a lot of us are afraid to do that, so we don't want to pray that prayer because we're afraid God's going to lead somebody that we got to talk to about Him. And if that's your problem, then the second thing you need to be praying about in your prayer in the morning is, God, give me boldness. You know, God, keep me from being a chicken. Huh? You know, God, give me boldness to speak to somebody about you today and help me with that. If whatever your problem is, just take it to the Lord. You know, if you don't think you know what to say, say, Lord, put the words in my mouth. If you think you're a chicken, say, Lord, give me some courage. You know, Lord, if I don't know who to talk to, just, Lord, lead me to whoever you need me to talk to. Them are the kind of prayers that God will answer, and he'll answer them in a hurry right there. So I think we need to, have that, think about each day with the opportunities that we have. We need to commit those things to God. Well, the second thing we need to pray about, number one, we need to, the best time we see is in the morning, and then we start thinking about things to pray about. And I saw this looking at this text with Moses. One thing we need to pray, the first thing we're going to look at tonight in that order, is it's time to pray for direction. Time to pray for direction. In Exodus 33, 12 and 13, we see Moses said, he said, Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. He said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Show me now thy way that I may know thee, and I find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So, you know, when we think about the direction that God would have us to go, he'd say, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? I spoke about that to you guys some this morning. I spoke about it to the men at the fellowship breakfast the other day. You know, like I said, Apostle Paul, he just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? As soon as he got saved, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's pretty simple, right? You show up somewhere, you don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? And the Lord said this, you know, seeking God's direction for Paul did for his life, and we need to do for our life. I said this morning, I go over it again. I told y'all, but sometimes stuff got to sink in. You know, sometimes we just think, you know, I got to serve God in some capacity. And so we jump in an area, go in a direction, and then we start praying, Lord, bless what I'm about to do. That's not biblical. Biblical is you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And when God directs you to that, then God's going to bless it. I mean, God's not going to direct you to something he's not going to bless. So see, we get it all backwards. We spend a lot of time asking for God to bless something that we're doing. If we were doing what God wanted us to be doing, we wouldn't have to ask him to bless that. That's the direction he sent us to. And so, you know, that's we need to do that. And, you know, God is not sitting around scratching his head in an undecided posture on, boy, what am I going to do? You know, the thinker there sitting there with one hand on his knee saying, what am I going to do with so-and-so? I just don't know. No, God knows what he wants to do with us. Once again, that great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got a commission. We spend a whole lot of time doing everything but the Great Commission. You know, you think about it. I mean, right in the church even a lot of times, a lot of things that we do, there's things that are needy. Listen, getting clothes and that for cold people, that's good. Getting food for hungry people, that's a good thing too. But you know, you could really burn up all your time. Medical missions, you hear about those. People going and helping people in countries with medical issues. Those, you could do all those things. You could spend all your time feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, doing medical missions, and never witness to a single soul about Amen. Jesus Christ. What do you? You know, you got to also, you know, you got to couple those things together. And so, I talked about that a little bit. If we don't do what God wants us to do, we become unhappy. We become unhappy with our church, its members, its our family. We become unhappy with everybody. Probably, the truth be known, we become unhappy with our own self. We're not even satisfied with our own self. How do you know? Because I've been there and done that. And so the question for us is this, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a real simple question. What do you want me to do? Ask the Lord that. So, you know, it's time to pray to God for direction. Another thing that it's time to pray for is God's presence. Verse 15, Moses said this in 33:15. He said to him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Moses is saying, look, Lord, if you're not going with us, don't make us go. Don't make us go. If you're not going with us. I mean, this is another thing that is at the essence of prayer, or is the essence of prayer. We're having an appointment with God, and we're wanting God's presence. Listen, if we're praying and God's not there, who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself. I spend a lot of time doing that. If I start getting answers, I get worried from me. At the very essence of prayer is God's presence. Listen, the absence of God's presence, when we look at the Israelites and they were about to go to the promised land, would have posed some serious problems. They'd have never got over the river. They'd have never got over the river. They'd have never defeated Jericho. They would have never defeated all those enemies that they had without God's presence. Listen, the one thing that God's people needs today, more than anything, is the presence of God going with us. Amen. You know, I've talked about the filling. We look at it in this sense, and we know we have the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession, the filling of the Spirit, you know, and that God's not going to take that away, but we can sure in the world grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit to the point where we can't, where our conscience is seared, and so we can't be directed by the Holy Spirit because we've rejected His leading or His teaching so many times that we've become callous to that. It becomes easy to do. And, so we should pray today for that filling of the Spirit. You know, a filling of the Spirit will solve every spiritual problem you got. Every single spiritual problem that you've got, it'll solve the love problem. It'll solve the forgiveness problem. It'll solve the deadness problem. It'll solve the coldness problem. It'll solve the lukewarmness problem. It'll solve the indifference problem. It'll solve the lazy problem. It'll solve the fear problem. It'll solve the boldness problem. It'll solve the dumb problem. And I mean, don't know what to say in speaking. It'll solve the deaf problem where you just can't hear God speaking to you. It'll solve the direction problem for your life. It'll solve the desire problem that you have. It'll solve the attitude problem that we struggle with a lot of times. And there's probably so many more. I didn't exhaust it, I'm sure, on all the problems that a filling of the Holy Spirit would solve. And so we need to pray more than anything for God's presence. When we get ready to have every day, I mean, think about this. When you get up in the morning, when you pray, you go early in the morning, you're seeking God's presence, you're seeking God's direction. Listen, you ask God, say, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit today. Fill me with Your Spirit today. That'll solve a lot of problems on what to do. What will Thou have me to do? When you fill with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you what the Spirit's leading. And the Spirit's leading you in the right direction. And so you pray for the Spirit's leading. When we get ready for Wednesday night, Lord, I pray that You meet with us at church when we meet collectively. Lord, on Sunday morning, I pray that, Lord, meet with us at church on Sunday morning. We need to be praying about that today. And Lord, meet with us on Sunday night. Meet with us in Sunday school. You know, meet with us. Every time we meet, we want to know and have be aware of God's present. Listen, we need to meet God first thing each day. Pray for that direction. Ask God for His presence and a filling of the Holy Spirit. That's an important thing. And then another thing we see this, it's time to pray for a new vision of God's glory. It's time to pray for a new vision of God's glory. Look what Moses said. He said there in verse in 33:18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, you know, here's Moses. Here's a man. The Bible says that Moses spoke with God face to face. And then it said also that, you know, no man can see my face and live. That's not a contradiction. Face to face is a term. It's an intimate term. It just means that, you know, he talked with God on a regular basis there. Here's a guy that had a very, in the level and the plane that we're operating on, Moses had a very, very intimate relationship with God. I mean, man, God talked to him and, you know, told him some things. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to put words in your mouth and you're going to lead the people. And he understood all that. But here's a guy that, you know, he had seen God's glory in the pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He had been up on Mount Sinai when all the other people were afraid to go up on Mount Sinai. But he said this, you know what? I want to see a more intimate glory of You in a more personal way. This was something that Moses had a desire. And we're thinking, you know, man, if we could just get to where Moses was already, you know, if we could just get to that place where Moses was before he had this desire right here. You know, it's like eating a potato chip. You can't eat just one. He had to have more. He had to have more of that. Man, I mean, Moses was thinking. He was thinking in the right way. And you know what? He wanted to see the intimate glory of God revealed to him personally. A true servant of God is concerned about the glory of God more than anything else. You get that? A true servant of God is concerned about the glory of God more than anything else. You know, and we need each day, every person needs a new or a fresh revelation of God's glory. Man, I mean, that would take care of, you know, because what happens to us? You know how we are, we're humans. Man, we get old, we get in the rut, we get stagnant, we get complacent. Everything's all ho-hum. Man, we're not excited about nothing. Listen, man, boy, if them cherubims like old Isaiah saw, he got a vision of the glory of God in Isaiah chapter 6. And man, I mean, the cherubims were flying around. It said there was the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the whole place. And them cherubims flew around, and they said, holy, holy, holy. The Lord God, he's holy. I mean, they saw that. If we saw that, if we got a vision of that every single time we came to the house of God, I'm telling you what, man, it would be, it would do something to you. Wouldn't your hair be standing up on the back of your neck if it's not doing that already? And it would be and you would just be like, man, I mean, this is, but we can have that. We can have that. Moses had it because he asked for it. He said, man, I want that. I want to have a fresh vision of God. That's what happened when you have a church needs a revival. You know why you have revival? Because you had to call 911 and the rescue squad had to come in there and pump on your chest and give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and put the paddles on there like a punka and, give you. That's why you have a revival, because you're about half dead as a church. That's what happens when you need a revival. We go to the prayer advance. Why? Because it's great, man. It gives us a boost. It charges us up. That's what we need. What is it about? It's about having a fresh vision of God, a new vision of God. And so Moses wanted that, and he desired it, and he asked for it. See, a lot of, think about the stuff we pray about, kidneys and livers and gallstones and all that. I mean, that's not going to necessarily give you a fresh vision of the glory of God. How many of you say, Lord, Pastor, I got a prayer request. I want a fresh vision of the glory of God. Huh? I want a fresh vision of the glory of God. Pastor, I want a filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to know what God's direction is for my life. What does God want me to do? I don't get no prayer requests like that. I mean, that's the kind of prayer requests that God... And you know what? You don't get it answered either, do you? You got what you asked for. You don't have it because you didn't ask for it. You didn't have it. It's pretty simple. I mean, God's real simple. It's real straightforward. Ask and receive. Ask and receive. I've heard people say, I'm just afraid to speak to somebody about the Lord. Did you ask God for boldness to speak to somebody? Well, no. you got a problem, ask God to fix it. Ask God to fix it and ask God to let it, see Him. We need that. I can't do it for you. I said this morning, listen, I can't get, if I get a fresh revelation from God every day and I'm all fired up about it, man, I'll be you looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate thinking, what in the world is wrong with him? He done flipped out. He's done went back. He's having an LSD flashback from the 70s. Huh? What happened to him? He's all excited about something. It ain't going to do you no good. You just think I'm nuts. But see, if we all got like that, if we all got excited about that, I mean, you've got to do it for you. Listen, your wife can't do it for you. You can't get up in the morning and go out there kicking the dog and the cat out the door and your wife in there doing her little Bible study, praying, and oh, Lord, and then she's going to pray and that's going to be enough for you. No, that's for her. Huh? You got to do it yourself. This, another essence of prayer, a personal revelation of God's glory. Man, I tell you what, if you ever, sometimes we get just a drop. We get a little drop. God opened up the window, poured a little drop out because we finally got on fire enough and undistracted enough and dedicated enough to get a little taste from God. And boy, we think, woo, boy, it's nothing. It's nothing. God hadn't done nothing yet. Wait till he pours the whole bucket out. You won't believe it. You won't believe it. And listen, God's got plenty. He don't have to have you like 365 drops in his bucket, one for today and one for, he's got to dole out a drop each day for you to go the whole year. No, he can pour the whole load on you every day. He's not going to run out. He can pour it on you every single day. And so, when Moses had already seen the glory of God, but he said, I want a deeper experience. I see that missing in a lot of folks today. A lot of folks are just satisfied with where they're at. Man, I tell you what, it's going to be a shock when we get to heaven. Man, we're going to get to heaven one day, and I don't know if God will do it this way. We'll just use a sanctified imagination and put it this way. We'll get up there, and God will say, look here, here's where you were living all them years right here on this plane right here, and you could have been all the way up here on this plane right here if you'd have just wanted it. If you'd have just wanted it, it would have been a deeper experience. You could have had it. We're going to go, man, I can't believe that I was satisfied in the experience I had while I was on. I can't believe I was satisfied with that. But a lot of people are. I don't know whether it's because they're just We're human. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid to get too excited. We're afraid to get too on fire for God. We're afraid of the cost that it's going to be. We're afraid of what we're going to have to get rid of. We're afraid of what we think we're going to lose. And we think that somehow Satan's got you talked into thinking that that's going to be a bigger loss than what God has for you when you gain. You know, I'm going to tell you what, you ever get a little taste of it, you never be satisfied till you get more of the fullness of God. You've got to have that. And Moses wasn't. Man, Moses said, listen, I got to have it. Listen, he had spoken to God, as I said, face to face, that figurative expression that just suggests openness and friendship. And God said, listen, he had allowed him to see his goodness. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to let you see it. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. Now, we know in the spiritual picture there that that it's a picture of Jesus Christ, okay, the rock. He said, there's a place beside me. I like that terminology. There's a place beside me. The rock is Jesus Christ, and the rock cleft is Jesus Christ crucified. That's what cleft the rock. And you know what he said? I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And God says, listen, you want to see my glory? I'm going to put you in Christ. He said, you want to see my glory? I'm going to put you in Christ. In other words, you're going to have to be saved. I'm going to put you in Christ. You'll see my glory. You're not going to see my face. You can't see me in my essence in that sense. But you know, I mean, you're going to see a lot of me. You're going to see a lot. You're going to see my goodness. And he said, you're going to see my back parts, but you're just not going to see my face and live, because the holiness of God, we couldn't live through all that in the condition that we're in there. And so he puts us in Christ to see himself. And I tell you what, Moses was satisfied. Moses was satisfied when he saw what God showed him to him right there. So listen, it's time to pray for a new vision of the glory of God. That's something that we need to pray about. It's the remedy for discouragement. It's the remedy for disappointment. Look in Exodus 34. I didn't read this far, but all the way over in verse 29. It said, it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. You know, there's something about getting a new vision. You know, Moses had gone up on the mountain, talked with God, and he didn't even know that his face was shining. He didn't know it. There's something about getting a vision, getting in the presence of God, that will change your countenance. And Moses didn't have a bumper sticker on the back of his camel that said, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot, or God, you know, some religious thing. He just came down, he didn't know, and everybody looked at him. They said, man, they were even afraid of him. The people were actually afraid of him. His face shone. He had to put a veil over his head. It had another reason why he did that, but put a veil over his head. But Moses didn't, he didn't even know. He didn't know it. He didn't have to advertise anything. People saw it. I mean, they just saw it. His countenance. And you know, when we get a new vision of the glory of God, our countenance and our outlook is something that's going to change. It's something that's going to change. It's time to pray. It's time to pray in the morning. It's time to pray for direction. It's time to pray for God's presence. And it's time to pray for a new vision of God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Help us to pray and seek you. I pray for all of us here that we would seek a deeper relationship with you. Lord, that you could reveal yourself to us in a more personal way. We'd have a desire for that. And Lord, just come what may, whatever you'd have us to do. Lord, after that, Lord, that the world could see you through us. Lord, so thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, have your will and way in our invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God spoke to your heart tonight. You need to come to the altar.